Let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you talk to us today about the winter of the soul and those times when, well, kind of like the weather today. Yeah, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the third message this last couple of months that I have been adjusted by the weather. And I knew this was coming, and I hate it when I'm prophetic. And how many of you are sick and tired of this cold weather, God, and all that goes with it? Okay, good. Of course, the kids aren't. But I know that. I mean, I've never been to a Siberian work camp before or worked in Antarctica, but I'm here to tell you this past couple days down at that Taylorville prison has been like that. It is cold. You can hang meat in that place. It's very cold down there, and I'm sure that today's worse than it was yesterday. And anyway, I've also shoveled snow this winter, and I don't normally shovel snow, and it kind of hurt afterwards. It was over, and anyway, I look at the weather. It ought to give us pause to how easily we can be also disabled by the weather if God so chooses to deal with us. I think sometimes the best thing to do is just stay inside, away from the cold, under a pile of blankets and near a fireplace if you got one. And living through the winter's blast can be hard. We get buried under raw temperatures this year, especially lots of really cold weather and some snow. You got to get stuck in it. And it gets bone cold. I don't know about you, but I get bone cold. And being down in that prison, they literally, I swear, they air conditioned the place. We've got us changed to March and September now down at the Taylorville Correctional Center, and that was planned so that we might get better weather. Because December was bad every time we went down there. But obviously this year it wasn't any good. But anyway, not all winter blasts are outside of us. Sometimes they're on the inside of us. And I take tours in people's lives and I get to see that. And not only that, but I experience my own times in terms of life. When winter blows cold in our souls, when we might feel broken or bruised or barren. And kind of like the scene outside today, we get frozen on the inside, you might say. Some of us, maybe right now, here, frozen on the inside to a certain extent, and you're experiencing the winter of the soul, wondering if it will ever end, struggling to go on, wind-whipped and raw within on the inside, feeling like packing it in. And what happens is that also the winter of the soul, we get cut off from other people in general, sometimes our families and our friends in particular, by the winter of the soul. The winter of the soul. We experience the winter of the soul when trauma strikes. Now, trauma, by definition, is an injury or a wound to living tissue caused by an outside agent. That's what trauma is. A person suffers trauma when they have been injured. Trauma occurs as a mental, emotional, or behavioral state or spiritual state resulting from stress from a physical injury or a psychic injury. A person or people are traumatized when bad things happen, or also sometimes what they perceive as bad things. Things like divorce or physical injury or crippling weather like we have right now. It could be the death of a loved one like spouse or child or brother or sister. It could be weather related like tornadoes and things like that because we've seen that on the news. But it could also be continual abuse, verbal, sexual, physical, or otherwise. It could be financial disaster that comes upon, or a fire, literally a fire. It could be loss of job. The winter of the soul, occurs because people are traumatized. Now, we have seen that trauma on TV. You can see it when we have natural disasters like last year in Houston with the flooding that took place because of that hurricane, or out on the East Coast in terms of that. But we also see it when a few years ago down in Washington, Illinois, when that tornado came through, just tore everything up. We've experienced physical trauma with that kind of weather. Now, to tell you the truth, I have to give this prison team credit down there. Now, not only are they giving up the 3 days that they go to prison, but all the time that they worked at it, but the weather down there has been traumatic this time. It was really, really cold yesterday in that gym. Trauma is brought on by stress. And stress is caused by outside agents like the weather, or maybe a flood or a tornado or the death of a loved one or some kind of an accident that something happens. That's how trauma comes about. And trauma is the word for the results of stress in our lives. And stress is the bottom line on drug abuse in a lot of people. Our emotional wounds are often very deep. They don't bleed like an injury to our body, but they're just as real and they're just as painful, if not more painful, than a physical injury, and they can't be seen. We don't see them in others very easily, and others don't see them in us either. And because we don't see them, they're also very difficult to treat at times. The trauma of stress. Have you ever seen one of these stress tests that they have? I had one that I used to have around. And in that test, if you have a score of more than 200 points in a year, it is more stress bringing on trauma than a person can stand. On that test, death of spouse was 100 points, or death of a child was 100 points. Divorce was 73 points. Even Christmas was given 12 points, and I think that's understating Christmas sometimes. It's no wonder people snap under the pressure, like a limb on a tree, under the pressure of ice and snow or the wind of change in the weather. Other things that bring on the winter of the soul and the high cost of trauma because of stress are problems with children or family, conflicts within family, personal injuries or illnesses, constant pressure from a job or a family situation that just keeps going on, uncertainty over job security, pressure to compromise your principles for the sake of your career, extensive change, building a house. All these are environmental conditions, and they're kind of like the weather. They're outside of us. Now, if there's enough bad weather in a person's life, the stress causes trauma, and the definition of trauma is injury to living tissue. The winter of the soul, when everything kind of freezes up or you get snowed in, so to speak, emotionally. One of the greatest stresses in life is sometimes losing our options, you know, where you're just kind of boxed in by things. Now, as you hear these words, I may very well be saying what's going on in your life or what has happened in your life. And this trauma of stress, which brings on the winter of the soul. You're trying to cope without hope or without rest. And you get stretched dangerously close to that 200-point limit on that stress test, and there is no relief on the horizon, and you're literally bleeding internally, and you're running out of bandages under the winter's blast that is hitting you, which is blowing freezing temperatures into your life. And if you are close to that edge, and you know you're close to the edge because you can see it. You may not be able to do anything about it, but you can see it. Now, I have no complicated answer to the winner of your soul. There is no fee, no special password. There's no trip to Jerusalem, but it's the words of Jesus. Read with me Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Here we go. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus says, just come. Anybody here heavy laden right now? Anybody here who is stressed under your labors? You unload them at the feet of Jesus and allow him to take your trauma and stress. Jesus is the one who knows our misery, actually. He's the one who knows our situation. He's the one who knows where we live, kind of packed in by the snow of our environment and the freezing temperatures of the winter of our souls. He knows trauma. He's the one who sweat blood over the agony of his sacrifice that was going to happen. He's the one who experienced the trauma of injury to the living tissue of his life on our behalf. If anybody understands trauma, Jesus does. His provision was profound. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. He's the one who says, come to me, all you in the winter of your soul who labor to dig out and are heavy laden by the weather of your life. Because the trauma of stress under the weight of so much snow and freezing temperatures. You know, I'm not one who does a lot of pushing of snow around. Even when it's around. But this year, I've shoveled snow in my yard, and thank God for Brian Crafton, who came by to finish it up with his snowblower. But I don't use those muscles that way very often. And you know what comes from that? You experience the pain that goes with that. And I experienced that pain in my fingers and toes that when it was as cold as it was. And you get the pain that comes with not using those muscles as much. And while you're digging and trying to reestablish some of the activities of your life, one of the things that happens to us in our psyche is we experience pain. Some of us, who maybe in the winter of the soul, will experience that pain in the midst of the trauma and the stress and the weather of our lives. Are you experiencing trauma? Are you under a great deal of stress because of your life situations? That's the weather of your life. Are you experiencing the winter of your soul? And if so, to dig out of that, you experience pain, and it's psychic pain. It's not just muscle pain. Viktor Frankl, who wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning, suffered the winter of his soul in Nazi death camps. And he made this statement, and it is a great truth. Suffering swells to fill the soul. Suffering swells to fill the soul. And that suffering could be the death of a loved one, could be the loss of job, or it could be just a hangnail. Suffering swells to fill the soul. And the thing about suffering is it's all yours. Your suffering will fill you, whatever it is, from a hangnail to cancer, from losing a job to losing money on an investment. Suffering is the pain of the soul, and it's all yours. Suffering is the pain in the winter of the soul, and pain humbles the proud. It is silent, and it is relentless, and it freezes the lonely soul. The heart alone knows its own sorrow, and no other person can fully share it. What's yours is yours. And the heart alone knows its own sorrow. No other person can fully share it. Pain operates alone, and it needs no assistance. It communicates its message to presidents and factory workers and to preachers and atheists and to mothers and children. Pain refuses to be ignored. Pain reduces its victim to frozen anguish a lot of times. Pain is real. How do you deal with pain? I think you move with it. You become more familiar with it. And you don't let it be such a big deal. You know, I was walking down the hall at prison with one of the guys that was on the team. And I could tell that he was hurting physically. And I said, "How you doing?" He says, "Peachy." And that's all he said. But what he was doing was he was moving with his pain. Now, yeah, it's one thing to go down there and serve, but in that cold of that gym, it works on you, and it comes up from the feet up all through your bones. And I could tell he was not dealing with his pain. The sufferer of pain either submits to it and learns from it, developing that inner strength and character, or the sufferer resists it and becomes bitter and frozen and cracks like the sidewalks. In Scripture, I do not find any strong-willed person whom God uses greatly until God allows that person to suffer the winter of the soul and experience a frozen environment in which he hurts deeply. We think that Jeremiah the prophet must have been a great man in terms of that, and God called him to do things, but I have a scripture of his here. He's called the weeping prophet a lot of times because of what he went through. Read with me this passage in Jeremiah that we have printed here. Here we go. "Cursed be the day on which I was born, the day my mother bore me. Let it not be blessed. Let that man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew without pity. Let him hear a cry in the morning and an alarm at noon, because he did not kill me in the womb. So my mother would have been my grave and her womb forever great. Why did I come forth from the womb to see toil and sorrow and spend my days in shame?" Now, you read this stuff, and you can just kind of skim over it, but this is a man who is in fierce psychic pain. Jeremiah is experiencing the winter blast in his soul. He's a man who is suffering with trauma of personal injury, and it has to do with his psyche, with his mind and heart and emotions. Now I want you to think about your pain. And we can talk about it whether it's physical or mental or emotional or spiritual. If you hit your hand really hard on a table, you're going to feel that pain intensely. And if you think about that pain, concentrate on it, you'll feel it for quite a while. That becomes your focus. But suppose you saw your son or daughter about to be hit by a car in the street, and if you ran and saved that child in the midst of that event, you hit your hand really hard, but you saved your child, you would probably ignore your own pain. You would be thrilled to have saved your child. When I talked to this guy walking down the hall, and he said, "Peachy," one of the things that we're doing, we have to understand why we're down there in the first place with those men in that prison, and that's to advance and establish the kingdom of heaven in the lives of those men down there. And that cold this time, it was that hurt. I've always said 90% of life is showing up, but I think the 10% that's left is what happens to us. Now, I want you to put your fingers up like this. Now, stick them in your ears. Can you hear me? You can take them out now. Living is between the ears. Living is between the ears. You know, when it comes to dealing with pain, it's not to deny it, but sometimes you move with it and you kind of ignore it. Just like this guy, you know, I asked him, I could tell he was hurting. And he just said, peachy. You learn how to experience pain and not let it freeze you up. Trauma is injury to living tissue, and stress brings about trauma, and trauma causes us great pain. What about the pain in your life? What about past injuries? Do you hold on to them? A person may have hurt you once, but every time you nurse or coddle that old grievance and you look at it and you concentrate on it, you know what? It hurts again. Just like you focus on a physical hurt. The way to deal with pain is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Now, that sounds like a cliche, and I guess it sort of is, but you got to try it. Some of you experience a lot of pain because you have been followers of Jesus. You get persecuted or you get mocked. You know, I know that those 30 men that came from here that are down there in that prison, in a lot of ways, they're experiencing pain for Jesus' sake. It's a lot different than if it was 70 degrees in the place or 75. And part of their persecution is the temperature right now. But we can receive injury for Christ's sake in this life. Peter wrote to his Christian friends about this. Read with me 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Here we go. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Followers of Jesus, we need to deal with pain at times. When pain comes your way, you say, well, I shouldn't be surprised at this. When I believed, I knew suffering was part of the package. It is part of the package. It's in the Bible, and I'm telling you about it right now. So pay attention. Personally, I say, God, curse those false prophets on TV who offer a prosperity gospel and they remove the warning label that goes with the Christian faith. Churches and ministers never mention the suffering part. A curse be upon those who play all the benefits but deny the suffering. You know, these guys that went down there, they're helping to advance and establish the kingdom of heaven in that prison. But that prison this time has been really cold. What happens is that when new believers experience pain or trouble or suffering, they do one of two things. They'll either reject Jesus, they become shaken, cynical, and frozen in the winter of the soul, or they can become whiners who focus on their pain instead of on the purpose that we're doing things. You have to ask, why are we doing this? You know, that's why we do it. It's not just because it's cold that we are experiencing pain. We are experiencing pain because we're called to do it. Now, all this applies to our physical lives, our earthly daily lives. This applies to our families, our businesses, our jobs, our relationships. We all experience stress in this life, and we are all injured by the stress of this life. Sometimes it's small ways, sometimes it's large ways. We all experience trauma. from our injuries, and we experience pain in small ways and in large ways. We also, all of us, experience this in terms of our spiritual lives as well. Following Jesus brings about stress and trauma and injury and pain. Ignore the pain. It's like the guy I was walking with down that hall. He was dealing with it. But he could have been home in a chair where the pain might not have been as bad. He was dealing with it, and he says, peachy. But fulfill your purpose in life as a follower of Jesus. Living is between the ears. It's a matter of attitude. An attitude of patience and trust in God. You know, I'm going to start this Bible study on Joseph this week, or actually I started the overview last week. But it's an attitude that he had that got him through this stuff. Your attitude matters. Trust in God and take action by prayer. Seek God's advice and persist in dealing with your problems. I want us to read a couple of scriptures. It's the word of God for those who experience the winter of their soul in the midst of winter's blast. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. Read with me 2 Corinthians 4, 16-18. Here we go. So we do not lose heart, though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And then the Apostle James, he wrote to the people he wrote in his book. Read with me James 1, 2 to 4. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. In the Bible, there are pictures of people who live through the winter of the soul in the midst of winter's blast, enduring their own suffering, and they persevered. Noah persevered for 120 years. He was saved from the flood. Childless Abraham was finally buried by his two sons. Jacob ended up with wealth. Joseph suffered prison and slavery for 13 years, but he ended up with power and fame. Job, in the midst of the winter of his life, let's read it together. Job chapter 13, verse 15. Behold, he will slay me. I have no hope, yet I will defend my ways to his face. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. How did Job come out? Well, he came out okay. But he went through a lot of suffering. In the midst of winter's blast, will you still be alive when spring comes? You know, as you drive out here, you're going to see trees covered with snow and ice, and they all look dead at this point in time. But we know that some of those trees are really dead, and most of them are still alive. When spring comes, we'll know which ones for sure. When the wind of spring hits, those trees come to life. And if they're dead, we'll know that too. And it's the same way with people. When the winter winds are blowing, you can't always tell which Christians are alive and which are dead, because the life goes down into the roots. When we are suffering as people, it goes down into the roots. But when spring comes, when the wind of the Holy Spirit begins to blow, then you'll know which Christians who can suffer from winter's blast and which can stay alive through it. They will bud and bloom. Thomas A. Kempis wrote this. He said, he is not truly patient who will suffer only as much as he pleases or from whom he pleases. In the winter of the soul, when the winds blow, You seem to be digging yourself out. I know there could be a lot of stress and trauma and pain, but have faith and keep at it. For the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you help all of us understand that in this life there is suffering, and there is suffering for your sake as well. And so as we come together and take this sacrament of Holy Communion today, sit with us and speak to us of that which you know. In Jesus' name.